Hello,
Fightful Faithful, and welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski. Everything sucks.
Well, I mean, Christmas doesn't suck. I really like Christmas, but everything sucks. As we always say on the show, everything sucks. Even the stuff that's good sucks. There's always something wrong with everything. So Christmas also has its drawbacks. This is an unannounced Christmas special. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Season's greetings. And a happy new year. I decided to do this on a whim. Here's the way it's going to go. A lot of people have been asking me to do Sour Graps about things that aren't wrestling. Because, you know. So this is the first of that. I'm going to try this out and see how it goes. You know, it's a new thing. It's a new wrinkle. So we'll see. I'm going to roast the fuck out of some Christmas carols, some Christmas classic Christmas songs. The lyrics are bad. And I've often thought that for a long time. Every time I hear something come on the radio around this time of year, I'll be like, no, that doesn't make sense. That's bad. And so I jotted down some stuff from memory about certain lyrics, and we're gonna tear that shit apart. And then I'm gonna do something else, a little special thing. At the end, we'll see how long that lasts. It's going to be a short little episode. Don't worry, you'll get your regular Sour Graps thing tomorrow. I'm going to sit here with everybody from Fightful. We'll do our Christmas, stream thing, which you should all come back here for tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Sit with us. We'll talk about stuff. I don't know what. Sean will be in charge of it. We'll all be there just, shooting the shit. Like you get to basically be a fly on the wall at the Fightful holiday party, if there was one. I'm not sure if anybody's going to be drunk on rum toddies. No, I'm kidding. I don't drink anymore. But it'll be fun. And then after that, I'll do the normal Tuesday Sour Graps, because ooh boy, was Raw a shit show. So we'll talk about that. Don't worry. But this is a little bonus episode because I love the Fightful Faithful. here goes, as they say, nothing. Yeah, that'll work. Okay. So the first Christmas song that I wanted to talk about. this is so weird. Do you know the song? And I don't even know who does it, but everybody knows the song. They play it all the time. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know that song. Some of it makes sense, but some of it doesn't. This is not on here. I had this little website up where it has all the lyrics of the biggest Christmas songs, but not that one for some reason. So here we go. All right, here we go. So you know the song, right? It's the most wonderful time of the year, with King's jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year, blah, blah, blah. So we get through that one. We go through the next one. Okay, here we go. Here's the bridge, the one thing in the middle that kind of like ties all the other ones together. Here we go. It says, there'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting. Okay, now, here's the deal. I suppose you could toast marshmallows like in the fireplace. Like, I suppose you could do that. I've never done that before. I suppose that's literally a thing you could do. But when I think of toasting marshmallows, I think of a campfire, right? Like you go out in the campfire while you're camping, you bring the marshmallows, you got a stick, maybe one of those fancy metal marshmallow skewers. We had one of those when I was a kid. It was a long metal stick, and it came out to a little fork with two spots so you could put two marshmallows on it. And then you held it out over the fire, and there was a little crank that you could turn the marshmallows so they could cook evenly. And you had to do two at once because in case you had two kids, you could never, like my brother and I, like we had to both get a marshmallow at the same time. My little brother insisted on toasting them himself, but they always caught on fire and he threw a fit. Because you got like a black shell of the marshmallow and then the inside was just ooey gooey and everything. Anyway, what am I talking about? Right, Christmas songs. So this guy says, Andy Williams, singer of this song, he says, there'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting. And I think, Andy, I think you've confused Christmas with camping. And here's how I know that, right? He says, there'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. And this is where he goes off the rails, people. There'll be scary ghost stories. What? Wait a minute. What? Scary ghost stories? That's Halloween, man. Or, as we've established, things you do around a campfire. A, toast marshmallows. B, tell ghost stories. Ghost stories? Who's telling ghost stories at Christmas? But this is what he also says. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. What? Are you talking about the birth of Jesus? That was a long time ago. Is that a glory? Are we talking about like things that happened to your Uncle Tom when he had to change a tire? Was that a glory of Christmas? What's a scary ghost story that you tell at Christmas? Oh, Jacob Marley, probably, right? Like, I suppose. Is he saying that A Christmas Carol is a scary ghost story? Because, like, you know, fine. But like I'm pretty sure that's not what if you ask Charles Dickens, hey dude, did you write a scary ghost story? Or did you write, you know, a parable about classism in 1840s London? I think he'd choose the second one. You know? I'm just saying. Yeah. So that's the first one. I've always thought, every time that song comes on, who's telling scary ghost stories while munching on toasted marshmallows at Christmas time? Andy, what are you talking about? So that's the first one. Let's see. What's next on the old agenda? Okay. All right. Now, I'm not going to win a lot of fans for this, but the little drummer boy sucks at drumming. I'm just going to say it. It's right out there. I'm not apologizing for it. I was a drummer for many years. Okay. For many, many years. Like 6-7 years. But that qualifies as several years. I went from, as I think I've told this story on the podcast, I started drumming because I wanted to be a rock drummer. And I was. By the end of high school, I was in like 2-3 different cover bands. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was a good time to be in a rock cover band. Like, that was this is dating myself quite a lot. But that was the mid to late 90s. There was a lot of great alternative rock, grunge. Like there's really good stuff that you could cover easily in a high school band. You didn't have to be really good at it. You didn't have to. Nobody had to be a world beater at guitar to cover some Stone Temple Pilots. All right. So like that was a lot of fun. So I know from what I speak. The little drummer boy sucked. He was a bad drummer, and Jesus deserved better. I'm going to say it again. Baby Jesus deserved better. The little drummer boy, he says, come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And there you go, right there. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Like, seriously, that's some beginner level shit. That's some beginner level shit. Pa-rum, pa-pum-pum. That is embarrassing. Pa-rum, pa-pum-pum. Okay? You know when I learned how to do that? My first fucking day on the job as a drummer. Sixth goddamn grade. Really easy. Really. I haven't played drums in probably 15 years. It's like riding a bike, man. You never forget how. You know when I learned? Fucking sixth grade. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And maybe you're thinking, oh, well, maybe it's the little drummer boy. Like, he wasn't, like, you know, topping out. Like, he wasn't doing the best he possibly could. He was doing a little beginner level thing. He didn't want to, like, blow out the kid's eardrums, right? It's a baby. He's playing for a baby. He doesn't want to, like, hurt the kid's ears, right? So he's going easy on him. No, it says in the fucking lyrics, I played my best for him. Pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. Rum-pum-pum-pum. Rum-pum-pum-pum. If that's your best, little drummer boy, you suck. I'm saying, like, he's a little drummer boy. He's allowed to be bad at drumming. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is, if he's bad at drumming, maybe he's not the best guy to bring before the king. You know what I mean? That's what they say. I'm going to play before a king. I mean, yes, he's, you know, the kingdom of God and whatnot. But you know what I mean? Like, you couldn't have, I don't know, found the 2,000 years ago version of Lars Ulrich or something. Like, well, you could find a better drummer. I'm just saying, I think Baby Jesus deserved better. I know I'm not going to win any fans for that, but I'm going to say it because nobody else will. I hope you all are having as much fun as I am because this is a blast. Okay. All right. Okay. Another one from the same milieu, the same group, the same genre of Christmas songs. Do you hear what I hear? Right? People know that one, right? That's the old, that's a biblical one, right? That starts out with, said the night wind to the little lamb. And right away, you know, we're in a fantasy, right? It's a fantasy world. The night wind ain't talking to anybody. It's not an angel, right? The way it usually says is the angel comes down from on high and tells the shepherds about baby Jesus. Right? That's the way the thing comes. This one's taken, this, I don't know who wrote this shit. Some priest, probably. I mean, but he is some guy. And, some fucking guy. And he's taken liberties with the story, right? He says, said the night wind to the little lamb. By the way, I don't even know. Like, if the night wind could talk, why would the little lamb be able to understand it? I mean, again, we're living in a fantasy world, you know, of Christmas stars and immaculate conceptions. Ooh, fairies and elves. Ah. This woman got pregnant by the Spirit of God. Whoa. Anyway, so he says the night went to little lamb. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. Listen, it's a star, man. It's a fucking star. Do you know how big a star is? This is the thing. The guy who wrote this fucking thing had no idea how big a star is. He thought a star was this big. That there's a specks of dust up in the sky because he didn't know science. But a star better have a tail as big as a kite. It's a fucking massive thing. Our sun is a star. It's a fucking giant ball. It's huge. Every other thing in the solar system could fit inside the sun and there'd be room left over. It better have a tail as big as a kite. This is the biggest fucking kite ever. Winning some competitions down at the kite festival.
Those are fun to go to. I never have ever done that, but I do like to go fly a kite occasionally. It's fun. It's relaxing. Stand out there in a field with the wind blowing around you, just alone with your thoughts. And ironically enough, me being alone with my thoughts is how I come up with a lot of this shit. And it just sticks up there. Long division, gone. Just floated out of my brain years ago. I'll never get that shit back. But every day I'm out there just doing whatever. Taking a walk, and all of a sudden, hey, there's a weird lyric in this Christmas song. Maybe you should do it for your podcast. I have a sickness. I have a sickness. So here's the deal. Here's the next thing that happens, and do you hear what I hear? Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? And the shepherd boy at this fucking time goes, oh my God, the devil is talking to me. Like, I don't know, like, pre-Christ, because this is technically pre-Christ, right? We don't know. Nobody knows at this time, really, that the baby in the manger behind the inn in Bethlehem, nobody really knows yet that he's the Son of God. So it's really pre-Christ, right? Did they, like, fear the devil coming to speak to him via animals? I know it was a big thing, you know, in the centuries post-Christ was, oh, my God, this goat can talk to me. It must be the devil himself. I shall cut off its head and then boil my eyes because I have looked upon Satan. Some shit like that. So I don't know if the shepherd boy had been tripping on mushrooms or whatever, but when the little lamb comes up to him and says, hey, kid, do you hear what I hear? There's a song ringing through the night. I think that shepherd boy might have lost his mind. I'm just saying, it's a weird. Again, we're living in a fantasy world of fairies and elves and immaculate conceptions. So it's possible that this little boy talks to lambs all the time. All the barnyard animals, goats, chickens, cows, horses. You know, all of them. So anyway, the next lyric, the next one goes night wind to little lamb to shepherd boy. And then nothing in between, straight from little lamb to shepherd boy to mighty king. And here's what I want to know. How many middlemen and different steps did he have to go through before he got to mighty king? I mean, for the sake of brevity, which again is not my strong suit. I thought this was going to be a really short podcast. I thought it was going to be done by now, but I just can't stop talking. It's my sickness. For the sake of brevity, you'd take out all the other steps, but there's got to be other parts of this story that exist. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, said the shepherd boy to his dad, right? Hey, dad, the lamb told me that there's a song high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea. And the lamb told me that the night wind told him that there was a star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. So I guess the lamb is telling me that I'm supposed to go talk to the king. And at that point, the dad like says, what are you talking about? You're crazy. Do we have to talk? Do we have to go see the doctor again about your weird night terrors that you've been having? That was a dream, kid. Like, you didn't actually talk to a lamb. And then a lamb comes up to the dad and says, no, I fucking did talk to him. Yeah, and the night wind talked to me. I know that's weird, but I vouch for him. Like, yeah, I did tell him about the song, High Above the Trees, with a voice as big as the sea. I told him about it. So we should probably talk to the king. And the dad, of course, thinks he's losing his mind. Maybe, I don't know, the mead he's been putting away pretty hard that night. And so he sleeps it off, wakes up, and the lamb can still talk. So he says, I guess we better go see the king. But the thing is, like, the dad takes the son and the lamb, because the lamb is the lamb is your ticket in. Like, once everybody else can see the lamb can talk, then I guess, well, the king's going to want to see this, right? So he goes and said the boy's father to the king's guard, you should let me in now, because I got this lamb, and we're supposed to talk to the king. And the king's guard is like, you're lucky I don't chop off your head with my halberd. Like, what are you talking about? See the king. And then they're like, here's a lamb that can talk. And like, oh, fuck, we better go see the king. Said the king's guard to his boss. The king's got to see this talking lamb. And the king's guard's boss, the captain of the guard, is like, what are you talking about, talking lamb? And the talking lamb's like, yo, over here, buddy. Said the captain of the guard to the king's head advisor. I know this is going to sound crazy, but there's a fucking, there's a lamb that could talk. And I think the king should see it. It's something about a song, high above the trees, voice as big as the sea, and the night wind told the lamb that there's a star dancing in the night. It's got a really long tail, big as a kite. The lamb says the tail's as big as a kite. This is something that the king should deal with. Said the king's top advisor to the mighty king. I think we should talk. You should talk to this boy, because he's, believe me, you're going to want to hear this. All right. You know what? If I'm wrong, you can chop my head off, because you got to hear this. And then at that point, and only at that point, does the shepherd boy talk to the mighty king. So he goes, little lamb to the shepherd boy to his dad, dad to the king's guard to the captain of the guard to the advisor, advisor to the king. And then the advisor says, come on in, shepherd boy. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? And the king goes, okay, listen, I don't fucking care what you know. Where's the goddamn lamb that can talk? Because that's the money right here. I got to see that shit. Don't rustle me in here with all your words or whatever. I want to get the payoff now. I'm the mighty king. I will use my might. I will smote you.
The kid says, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
And I mean, he's a shepherd boy, right? So I don't expect him to know how, like, fabrics work. And the fact that metal doesn't conduct heat. Unless you know what I mean? Like, the child is shivering in the cold. Let's bring him some coins. That'll help. I suppose just Joseph and Mary could use those coins to buy him a blanket. I suppose that's possible. But that seems like a middleman. Just bring him blankets. Do you not have blankets? You're the king. Bring the blankets. Don't bring... This is it. I mean, this is the thing. Like, you know, don't just like... Help me. Help me. Don't help me help myself. Help me. I am cold. I need a blanket. Don't give me a check and then say, go buy a blanket. Do you have a blanket? Good. I am cold. Give me the blanket. Just giving me the money to go out and buy the blanket adds an extra step before I am warm. I'm still cold while I'm going out to buy the blanket. Bureaucracy. It's just crazy. Red tape everywhere.
Anyway, then the king talks to people everywhere. And the thing of it is... when the shepherd boy talks to Mighty King, and the Mighty King talks to people everywhere, the Mighty King doesn't mention the talking lamb, which I feel like is the main selling point here. Like, the talking lamb is what you got. You know what I mean? The king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. I mean, I'm the king. You got to listen to what I'm saying, right? Pray for peace, people everywhere. You're the fucking king, dude. Like, sign a treaty. You want peace? Sign a fucking treaty. Like, don't go to war anymore, stupid king. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. And listen, I mean, you're the fucking king, right? You're taxing these people to death because all these medieval kings always are taxing people.
Stop taxing them so much. Sign the treaty for peace with your neighboring nations and stop taxing the people. And all of a sudden, you got goodness and light. You don't need a baby in a manger to give you goodness and light. You got all the other stuff. You're the king. Deal with it yourself.
So that was, do you hear what I hear? All right, we did that one again. Okay. This was not actually a dissection of the song, because I love the song. It's the Grinch song, you know, the one that Sean, hi Sean, the one that Sean aped when he did his Denise spoof, you know, you're a mean one, Miss Denise, and Mr. Grinch, right? Here's the deal. I love the song. It's a great song. Fucking classic. Great lyrics. Do you know the name of the dude who sang the song on the original Grinch Christmas special? I'm going to tell you, and it's going to blow your fucking mind. His name, an actual person who lived not too long ago, had the name Thurl Ravenscroft. Like, what? That's a Harry Potter character. His name was Thurl Ravenscroft. And he sang like this. That's perfect. I mean, it doesn't make any fucking sense, because as I said, it's a fucking Harry Potter character, but Thurl Ravenscroft. You can use that with your family when they're sitting around watching the Grinch before Christmas. You say, hey, mom, dad, kids, do you know who sings this song? Thurl Ravenscroft. What a fantastic bit of trivia. All right. There are a few more, but again, in the interest of brevity, I'm just going to go through them real quick. And then I got one more to do at the end here. I'm pretty sure. Yep. Feliz Navidad. Too repetitive. I'm going to sing you the entire song. Feliz Navidad. Do, 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 do. Feliz Navidad. Do, 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 do. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. And then in English, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. And then it starts again. And it does that like three times. And that's it. The guy says Merry Christmas in Spanish. And then he says Happy New Year. And felicities. Happiness. And then he says it in English. And that's it. And that's the whole song. And it's not a short song, because they do the whole damn thing like three times. And it's just over and over and over again with the same thing. Like that's it. Like, and that thing has sold millions of copies. It's played ad nauseum over and over again, 50 years after it was recorded. It's like 17 words long. That's the whole lyrics. Reminds me of WWE booking. They did the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and everyone will just accept it. So that's too repetitive. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Hillbilly trash. Christmas shoes. Cloying, manipulative drivel. All right, let's get to the main event here. I want to make sure I'm doing this right. I want to make sure I'm giving credit to the right person here. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm wrong. I apologize. Frank, I apologize. I, in my entire life, thought this was a Frank Sinatra song. It is another Andy Williams tune. Remember Andy Williams with the old, with the ghost stories? This guy, he's, I don't know. I don't know. this guy. Okay. This is the song. Nobody knows the fucking name of this song because I had to look, Google it like three or four times before I figured it out. Everyone says is it Happy Holiday, The Holiday Season, or Coming Down the Chimney Down. All right. I forgot to do one. I'm gonna do this. Just a second. Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane, which like that's too easy. All the stuff. It's all fine. It's all just the normal Santa Claus stuff. And it gets to the thing. It gets to the end. And like, listen, I grew up in a pretty secular family. Like, we didn't go to church. I learned about the Bible stuff by like getting to an age where I was like, a lot of people that I go to school with all go to church. I should know what's going on. So I was like, I'm going to read some stuff about this. And I didn't read the whole Bible because yeesh, but like I read enough to like figure it out. And I knew the gist of all the stories or whatever, but I did this because I was curious, not because somebody forced me in any kind of religion. So I grew up kind of secular, but it was weird. But like at like 6 years old, there's a point of here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane, where I believe it's Gene Autry says, Santa Claus knows that we're God's children and that makes everything right. I'm like, okay, wait. You can be non-religious and celebrate Christmas. It's a secular thing all over the world. Like you can celebrate the Christmas part of it as like Jesus's birth or whatever. And that's a good reason. Like you should know that's 'tis the reason for the season, but you can also celebrate Santa Claus and not be like super into religion or whatever. So it's just weird to like have a song entirely about Santa, who's a wonderful figure, but not like closely related to the whole Jesus deal. And all of a sudden you got some guy got to shoehorn the Jesus in there. Santa Claus know that we're God's children. That makes everything right. If we weren't God's children, like if we weren't Christians, it would be wrong. Santa should not come and see us if we're, this is a weird thing. Anyway, that aside, back to Andy Williams and Happy Holidays. Happy Holiday, the holiday season, and Down the Chimney Down. Like it's a song, like it's on the in the background, everyone hears it. Okay, here we go. That's not right. Hold on. Yeah, here we go. It's the holiday season, so whoop-de-doo. Right there. You're a bad messenger, friend. Like, it's the holiday season. It's the holiday season, Andy. Andy, it's the holiday season. The best you can do is a whoop-de-doo. A whoop-de-doo, because everyone knows that's a sarcastic thing. Nobody says whoop-de-doo when they're really happy about something. They say it to like denote sarcasm towards happiness. Hey, kids, are you excited to go see your great aunt Mildred this year? Whoop-de-doo, Dad. Nobody says whoop-de-doo. So when you start, it's the holiday season. So whoop-de-doo. So basically what you're saying, Andy, is it's the holiday season. So whatever. I don't fucking care. And that's not great. All right. But it's not even as bad as the next lyric. It's the holiday season. So whoop-de-doo, a dickery dock. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold the phone. Andy, Andrew, buddy. A dickery dock? Like hickory dickory dock? The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one. The mouse came down. Hickory dickory dock. That's the nursery rhyme. We're adding the nursery rhyme hickory dickory dock in here for no reason. Oh, unless you've got a really, really great lyric, right? That rhymes with dock. That you gotta get it in there, and you had to figure out a way to put the dickory dock in there. Like something's gotta rhyme with it.
and I don't can't think of anything else. We're going to put Dickory Doc in here. I'll fix it later. I'll fix it in post. Don't worry about it. What's the big lyric that you had to get in there to make sure? Okay, so it's the holiday season, so whoop-de-doo, a Dickory Doc. Don't forget to hang up your sock. What am I? Hold on. Hang up your sock? Who says that? Who says hang up your sock? Are you talking about stockings? Stockings hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there? Hang up your sock. What is that? That's the thing you had to include, so you had to rhyme with Dickory Doc? That's ridiculous. Nobody says hang up your sock. It's a stocking. Hang up your sock. And it gets weirder. So whoop-de-doo, a Dickory Doc, don't forget to hang up your sock, because just exactly at 12 o'clock, he'll be coming down the chimney down. Okay. Andy. Is that what happens? Just exactly at 12 o'clock, he comes down the chimney? How can that be possible? At every house all over the world, he comes down the chimney at 12? Okay. I admit, I am not familiar with the actual magic of it. I know it's true. Kids, Santa Claus does exist, and he's coming on Friday. Also, kids, you have terrible parents. Why are they letting you listen to this? I say so many curse words. I'm on the naughty list. I'm getting a big old fat lump of coal in my sock, apparently, this year. So don't be like Uncle Alex. Uncle Alex says some really naughty words, so don't say them, okay? And talk to your parents about maybe not letting you listen to this song, to this podcast. Anyway, this song, either is a terrible song. is it your contention, Andy, that the magic is that exactly 12 midnight on Christmas Eve, when Christmas Eve switches from Christmas Eve to Christmas, right? The stroke of midnight, that Santa splits himself into several billion different Santas. He clones himself several billion times with the snap of his fingers, and all the different clone Santas go down chimneys all at the same time all over the world. That seems impractical. Also, I don't think it's canonical. I've never heard that before. It's an interesting theory. I mean, I suppose it's all magic, right? So it's possible. But just exactly at 12 o'clock, I don't even know where you get that from. Oh my God, are you thinking of the pumpkin for Cinderella, where her carriage turns back into a pumpkin at the stroke of midnight? See, I think I'm realizing what's your deal, Andy. I think I'm realizing what your deal is. I do. You were confused. You're confused. Like you were thinking that, like before in the other song, you were thinking that it was a campfire, that Christmas is going camping, the most marshmallows in the ghost stories. But now you got the 12 o'clock thing. That's a Cinderella's. Bippity boppity boo. Bippity boppity boo this man. Andy, it's not, I don't think the 12 o'clock thing is going to hold water. I'm pretty sure. Like, I've heard a lot of different stories of Santa, and none of them have been that. Here you go. Here's the next one. The one that really chaps my hide. Next lyric. He'll have a big fat pack upon his back and lots of goodies for you and for me. We're good so far. So leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick hanging from the Christmas tree. Okay. Andy, where are you getting your information from, buddy? A peppermint stick for old Saint Nick? Again, it rhymes, and I'm going to give you a little bit of leeway for this, but cookies, man. Cookies are the generally agreed upon snack for the fat man. For this fat man, too. I love cookies. Santa loves cookies. You leave out cookies for Santa. Everybody knows this. Why are you telling people to leave peppermint sticks out? Cookies and milk. Right? If you don't have any milk, just the cookies is fine, but there's got to be cookies and milk. Maybe a carrot for Rudolph. We're going to get, well, I don't want to mix songs. Cookies and milk. You would need the milk to wash down the cookies. Just like I need some water to wash down this shit you're shoveling me. Cookies, not a peppermint stick. And while we're on the subject of peppermint sticks, what is a peppermint stick? Especially one that is in the shape of something you could hang on a Christmas tree. Are you talking about a candy cane, Andy? Are you talking about a candy cane? If it's talking about a candy cane, just say candy cane. I'm so angry with you, Andy. If you weren't dead already, I'd kill you, Andy. Leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick. What are you talking about? Jesus. I mean, that's and right then he comes right back to like whoop-de-doop. And Dickory Doc, he's all over the place, and I'm done with it. I'm also done with this bit, so I hope you enjoyed it. Okay, here's the deal, and what some of you are probably waiting for. Months ago, I got the idea that I might watch the episodes of the Netflix series The Big Show Show. It was terrible. It was so terrible, I could not continue. I watched the premiere and did a review of it, and then I did a watch along of episode 2, where I watched it in real time and allowed you to queue up your Netflix as well and watch along. And then I would pause it and tell you to pause it so I could make jokes about how terrible it was. It was so terrible, so soul-crushingly awful that I never watched the rest of the series. And it was so bad, in fact, that Netflix didn't renew it. They didn't give it another season. But apparently the people who work on the Big Show Show expected to get another season because they made... shot and now released a Christmas special. I have not seen this. I don't know anything about it. I don't know if there are references within the episode that I won't get because I didn't see all of the first season, the first and only season. But I'm just gonna hit play on this thing, and then, and the deal is that I'm going to watch it and make fun of it for as long as I can, until it becomes so unbearable that I have to turn it off. And fair warning, that may happen quickly, but this will be the last thing we do for the episode. So. I want to say to those of you who don't wish to do a watch along of the Big Show Show, perhaps you don't have Netflix or you do have good taste. I'm going to say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all the Fightful Faithful. It's a privilege to be able to do this stupid fucking show for all of you. And a lot of you have reached out to me and told me how much you love it, and that it means the world to me. I obviously couldn't do the show for nobody. I guess I technically could, but it's amazing how many people love the show, and that is awesome. And I'm going to keep doing it until Sean doesn't let me anymore. So maybe we'll do more of these where I don't talk about wrestling, but instead I talk about other things.
we'll see how this goes. But I just wanted to do a little impromptu Christmas gift for the Fightful Faithful. Love you guys. So anybody who doesn't want to stick around for this watch along, vaya con Dios. Here we go. I'm going to push play on this thing. You can pause my podcast, get your old Netflix thing all queued up, and we're going to push play on this episode in it's buffering. It's buffering, guys. It's buffering. Maybe. Oh, here we go. All right, here we go. It's starting. So push play. Here we go. Netflix logo. A Netflix original series. Here we go.
They're decorating the house. Oh God. The Big Show loves Christmas. Big Show says, "Christmas is my Christmas." And then the snooty middle child, remember her? If you watched these episodes with me, you remember snooty middle child. She says, "Daddy, Christmas is everybody's Christmas. That's why it's called Christmas," which doesn't make any fucking sense. Go on, push and play again. This is so bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm going to give it one more terrible joke and then I am going to shut this off. I apologize. It's 23 minutes. Guys, we're already 47 minutes into this, what should be a very short episode. I'm going to give it one more bad joke. And then after the next bad joke, I am going to just say goodbye and shut off the stream. And I'll talk to you on the next episode, okay? So, again, we're going to push play. And after the next bad joke, I'm just going to say goodbye. And we'll see you later, okay? All right, here we go. Pushing play. And after the next bad joke, I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye.